Why is the shopping cart always in the top right of the screen?
How do companies predict my purchases?
Why do prices end in 9?
Why do fast food companies use red and yellow in their logos?
Why do restaurants always have one expensive menu item?
Researchers, marketers, and very curious people seek the answers for how we make decisions and how we choose products. ClickSuasion finds the secrets that companies use and shares them with you.
Why do I feel better when I bought the last remaining airline ticket?
How do I make choices based on colors and fonts?
Again, happy Wednesday. Michael Barbera here. Welcome to Crafting Effective Digital User Experiences with ClickSuasion Labs. Today's facilitator is Damian Sandoval. Three things you may or may not know about Damian. Damian is a computer science rock star at the lab, but also at the University of Las Vegas, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Damian recently had some life experiences while camping, and Damian is an aspiring dungeon master. I can't talk today. That's why I'm not hosting this today. So, Damian, the show is absolutely yours.
Okay. I want everybody to imagine you are on Google, whether it's on your phone or on your laptop, whatever device you choose, and you are searching the top 10 reasons this presidential candidate won the election, the 2020 election. You click on the top link of Google, and it takes you to an article stating top 10 reasons why this presidential candidate has won the 2020 election. You read a little bit of a description of each of the candidates, and then you get down to the bottom of the page and you find a next button. You click it. Reason 10. Description of what the reason is. As you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you see previous and next. You hit next. Reason 9. I'm curious to know how many of you would even make it to reason 9. So, user experience design is one of my favorite topics because it bridges the UI design of marketing and design to the logical and functional side of programming and front-end development. So I'm going to give you some tips on creating a persuasive user experience. And to do this, what users want is they want to have a simplified user experience. They want tangible experiences, things that stick with them and are memorable. And they also are influenced by social proof. And I'll go a little more in depth with each of these. However, before we do that, we need to talk about why we want a good user experience. So your website or product or service has several metrics that track things such as bounce rate and the unique user metric. So bounce rate is when somebody accesses your website or your product, how quickly they are to leave. So tying back to that example I gave at the beginning, as soon as you read a top 10 article and you realize that all of the reasons aren't listed on the first page, and you're going to have to click next and next and next and go through the process and work required to get the content you receive, you're likely to bounce off that page. So the user experience directly relates to the bounce rate. And then the unique user metric is how likely somebody is to visit your site again once they have visited it the first time. So when somebody visits your site, they go through your article, they find, okay, next, 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 they leave, they are much less likely to revisit your site for another top 10 list. They would rather visit a site that they know has all of the reasons listed on the single page they access. So to improve user experience design, we can simplify the user experience. And we can do this by making it as clean and uniform as possible. You want to cut out any extra clutter or unnecessary images. You want to have animation, but make sure the animation isn't overwhelming to the user experience. You also want to maximize accessibility to your content. And you can do this by creating your content in multiple languages using big, bold fonts. for people who may be hard of seeing on devices that are as small as self of a mobile phone. You also want to streamline your content. Your visitors or users are using your product or website or service for a reason. And if they're being pulled away from the original reason they came there to sign up for a newsletter or advertisements pop up on the screen, if you're drawing them farther and further away for the content that they came to access. So we can simplify the user experience by making sure that there's a very clean and sleek design with the content coming first before anything else. You want to create uniformity. If you have a submit button in your branded color green, and then you have a remove from cart button in the branded color green, this creates cognitive dissonance, because when you're submitting something and the user ties the action of submitting or giving with the color green, and then they go to the add to cart page and there's a remove cart button that is in the color green, they're seeing that submitting is in green, but then also removing an item from their cart is in green. And this creates an uneasy experience for the user, and any bit of uneasiness that they experience while they're using your product or accessing your website is going to directly affect their experience when they're putting their credit card information in. Can they trust the site? Will that uneasiness affect their decision on whether, okay, am I going to complete this purchase, or am I going to look for an option that I'm more used to and more comfortable with? So, information overload is a topic that also relates to creating a clean and uniform design. So, information overload relates to many different aspects, but it's when too much content or too much information is being given to the user and it causes frustration. This can be copy, this can be buttons. You can have several call to actions and buttons everywhere, and it's just too much information and too much decision making for the user to feel comfortable. This can be with the layout of the website. You might have too many columns, too many rows. It ends up looking like a spreadsheet, and then it looks like work. So I'm going to give an example here. This is a good example of information overload. So as you can see, there is a lot of text, paragraphs and paragraphs of text. The headings aren't really popping out as much as they should. There are a lot of links on the right side in the color red. There's also quotes in the color red. There is a check mark in the color red, which is a strange color to use for something of approval when you've got red representing a lot of negative or removing or declining principles. So as you can see, there's way too much text here. As soon as the user opens up this page, it's going to feel like homework. Nobody likes to do homework. Now, a good example of UX design would be right here. Now, this is pulled from Apple's iPad shopping website. And as you can see, everything is uniform. There is equal spacing between the headings of each tablet and the actual image of the tablet. You can see that even though there's little new tags underneath the new tablets, there's still an equal amount of spacing between all of them. You can see that there isn't an overwhelming amount of content. There is images to keep the user's attention locked on to the product. However, there isn't an overwhelming amount of images to distract the user. You will also see that they have short descriptions of what they believe really matters, such as the screen size of the tablet. That is a big reason people get tablets. They either want a big one or a small one. And then the processing power of the tablet with their processing chip architecture on the bottom here. But as you can see, the colors all are uniform. The spacing and the padding and the margins between each item are uniform. And there isn't too much on the screen to distract you. It's just the right amount of content and information that you came to look for, with the option to look for more, obviously. So, aside from creating a simple, clean, and uniform design for your product, website, or service, you can also make the user experience easier by teaching your users as if they aren't being taught while they're using your product. What I mean by this is, okay, so I want you to imagine that you are organizing a family or friend game night. Everybody shows up at the party or the gathering, and everybody decides, okay, well, let's play Monopoly, a family favorite. So you bring out the Monopoly board, you open up the box, you pull out all of the little figurines. Somebody always claims the car first. You hand the car to them. And then you're going to take out the money, begin handing out money to everyone. And then you put $500 in the center of the Monopoly board. And then you say, okay, so whoever lands on free space gets this. And then one of your friends or family members says, wait a minute, are you sure it's 500? And then the whole game is paused as you pull out the rule book, begin scanning through each page, and then you're trying to figure out, okay, well, how much does the person get at free parking? You don't find the rule. And then while you're doing that, another one of your friends mentions, wait a minute, did we start with the right amount of money? So now you're spending 15 to 20 minutes reading through a manual just to figure out how to play the game. We don't want this when we have our users accessing our website or our product or digital service. We do not want to have the user have to visit a frequently asked questions page to figure out how to use what they came there for. And so how you can prevent this is you want to guide users through regular interactions. Let's say they're on a portion of your website where they're going to have to be filling out information forms. Instead of having a one-page form with 100 different fields, break it up into smaller fields and have a next button. When the person visits the first page, have the next button rotate or just glow for a second, flash. Just a small animation just to bring the user's attention to the next button so they acknowledge that it's there and then they can return to their content. You want to do this throughout your entire website. You want to guide your user's attention to the flow of the website and how it's meant to be used. An add to cart button, you might have a glimmer for a second when a person is viewing the product so that they just get a little nudge to hit that button or to know what they need to do to add it to their cart. So animations do direct attention, and this is a double-edged sword. If you have way too many animations on the screen, if you have the next button flash, and then you have the previous button flash, and then you have a pop-up on the right-hand side with tips, and then you have the menu drop down and then go back up. If you have too many animations happening at once, the user is going to be looking at all of these animations, and then they're being distracted from the content that they originally came to access. So animations are great for drawing user attention, but it can really, really, really distract the user if you have way too much animation happening at once. So uniformity also simplifies the user experience. It helps guide the user. As I said before, with the green button for the submit, if you have that for every action of adding, so if you want to increase the quantity of a product in their cart, make it a green button. So that way they associate the color green with increasing or adding or giving. And then another way to help teach users as if they aren't being taught when they're using your site is to celebrate achievements. So a great example of this is a website called Khan Academy. Khan Academy is a website used to learn math, science, and a variety of different topics. It's a learning platform. However, what Khan Academy is really, really good at is you are allowed to select a lesson, start at the beginning, and then as you complete the lesson, once you complete it, confetti shoots out, you get points. It feels like you're playing a game almost, and then it says, okay, now you can progress to the next lesson. But you could have always accessed the lessons at any time. You have access to all of the lessons, whether it's at the start, the middle, or the end. But it's this celebratory achievement of completing a lesson and moving on to the next phase that people enjoy. So if we can do this with our products and websites, it'll create a funner experience. And a funner experience is more likely to bring people back to your platform, website, or product. So on top of celebrating achievements, you want to gamify the experience. You want to make the website seem interactive or make your product seem interactive, but also fun. So when somebody adds an item to their cart, they empty their credit card information and they've just spent money, give a confirmation page with confetti shooting out saying, congratulations, you are now the owner of this. make it fun. Make it seem like a true achievement just for the very basic things. And it will help users learn to use your product without actually feeling like they're being given a tutorial on your product. So on top of what I've just stated, you can create tangible experiences to make your website, product, or service more memorable. So before the age of the internet, if you wanted to purchase a new product or purchase, let's say, a new appliance, what you would do is you would go down to your local store, your local appliance hardware store, where you can find a new dishwasher. You would go there and you would inspect each dishwasher. You would open the door, close it, make sure the hinges feel sturdy. You would look at the knobs, feel the knobs or the buttons and switches, and you would go examine all aspects of the product before you make a decision to purchase. On the internet or on the web or in the digital world, you don't necessarily have that luxury. And so what we can do is we can try to mimic this experience by making your product or website feel more tangible through interactions. You want to appeal to as many senses as you can. So something that Amazon has been working on for a while and that they've begun testing is creating 3D renderings of their products. So when you view a product in the Amazon store, you can rotate it and you can read the calorie count and nutrition facts on the cereal box. You can look at the games on the back. This mimics the experience of entering a retail store and picking up an item and checking out the sturdiness of it, seeing if it's something that you really, really want. This can be achieved through animations or having interactions such as scrolling over buttons or scrolling over product images react to the user. So a perfect example of this would be to have a 3D-ish looking button, a 3D button on your website. And when the user hovers over it, it slightly depresses so that they know, okay, this is more like a physical button that I can actually press in. So if you were to hover your mouse over the button, it would slowly depress to show motion and to give the familiarity of it being an actual button that you can depress. So another way that we can create a user experience that brings people back to your website is to apply social proof. The most persuasive thing we could do is show that other people are doing it too. This is a quote from our Dr. Michael Barbera at ClickSuasion Labs, and I believe it is one of the strongest quotes that he has created. And a perfect example of social proof would be product reviews. So how do you know if a product is worth getting? Well, I would say that many people, when they're on Amazon and they're browsing a product for what they need, before they even read the description, they immediately go to the reviews. How many stars did this product get? They begin reading the top reviews. And this is because they need that social reassurance that this product is good, that people have used it, and that it does stand for what it is selling as. So aside from user comments and reviews, likes and reactions are a good example of social proof. Social media has just hammered this into everybody that if somebody likes a product, there will be a notification or a count of how many people actually like this product. Another good example of applying social proof would be to show conversions or page view notifications on your product, website, or service. So there are plenty of websites that are using social proof notifications on their stores or on their services. So a good example of this would be you visit a website for your iPhone and you're looking for an iPhone covering or a case so that it doesn't get damaged. Well, you visit this small boutique shop that specifically sells iPhone coverings. And when you go on this, immediately when you land on the first page, you get a notification. 300 people have viewed this page in the last hour. and you go, okay, wow, okay, so this isn't just some small shady drop shipping website. This is an actual site that gets traffic and a lot of visitors. And then immediately after that, you get a notification that says Jimmy has bought this specific case out of North Carolina. And then you go, wow, you know, maybe this is somebody who's local to my state, but this is a real person who's actually made a purchase. It just strengthens and reassures that trust that this is a legitimate website. And not only is it legitimate, it's popular. There's a lot of people visiting it. There's a lot of people buying these iPhone cases. And so it's more likely to nudge you into making your decision on that, your purchasing decision on that website. So aside from using conversion notifications, page view notifications, likes, reactions, comments, and reviews, you can always go the route of getting an influencer or some sort of celebrity to endorse, or not even endorse, but to say that they use your product. And it doesn't even have to be an influencer. It doesn't have to be a social media influencer. You don't have to pay a YouTuber to do a review of your product. It can be as simple as having another company's logo as a previous client of yours on your website. So having Kroger, the Kroger logo, right on the front page of your website helps re-strengthen that trust that, okay, not only is this service or product being used by others, it's being used by larger entities that have the teams that can really focus in on a product and see whether it's worth using or not. So lastly, you want to find a balance. So simple isn't empty. A lot of people who try to create a simplistic UI or UX, they just strip everything away and just only have the content. You want your content to be streamlined and easily accessible, but you still want it to be fun and you still want to catch the user's attention. You want your site to be memorable. Use a lot of images, but not enough to where it distracts you. Use a lot of bold images and animations that keep the user's attention, but doesn't distract them away from the content. Finding a balance can be difficult, but in the long run, it will impact your bounce rates and your unique visitor metrics. So that was crafting effective user experiences. Do you have any questions?
Damien, nice work, good information. I took a lot of notes. I've got a few questions from some participants. So for those who may not be aware, go ahead and drop your questions into the chat box and I will monitor and ask the questions. Damien, first question is, why is green a better or preferred color for call to action buttons?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a better or preferred color. It's just green is usually seen as a moving forward color. When you're at a stoplight, green means go. A lot of websites do have green as their add to cart button, but it is not necessarily the best color. The color that you want to use for your call to action would be the color that's in your brand guide or the branding that you would like that best represents your brand. But green is usually seen as a positive or let's go color.
Damien, question number two, how do I know if I have too much or too little white space?
So that is a good question. And that question is brought up all the time in UI and UX design. And aside from looking at the data, so the best way, everything should be data driven. So the best way to really see if your design or your layout is too lacking in content would be to look at the bounce rate, look at the unique visitor metric, as well as having, for example, heat mapping solutions on your website or eye tracking software to see where the user's attention is drawn to, where they're hovering over their mouse. But a good rule of thumb that I know from front end web development is that your content should take up at the very least 30% of your screen, so a third of your screen. And as far as white space between content, that depends on a lot of things, such as your fonts, whether you're using light fonts or heavy fonts, your font sizes, things of that matter. However, I would say the best way to see whether you are having too much white space or a lack of content would be to just look at the data.
Damien, some more questions coming in. Next question is, do you have a specific font type or size to suggest?
So a lot of people prefer to use sans fonts, so fonts that lack the little nibs and knobs on the T's and R's or I's of fonts. So I do suggest that you use sans fonts, because sans serif is a little harder on the eyes. It adds more when it's not necessary. However, depending on your brand, that could be what you're looking for. If you're going for more of an old fashioned style brand or sort of like, you know, newsprint style content, that can always work. Now, so I would recommend lighter fonts, just because you can have more content without the content taking up too much of the pixels on the screen. So this relates back to the responsiveness of web design or product design, where we're not only just seeing text on laptops or computer screens anymore, they're going on to smartphones. So the bolder, bigger, and darker the text, the more real estate it's going to take up on the screen. So I prefer lighter fonts. But then again, this goes back to branding and exactly what you want to convey to the user, what feelings you want to convey.
Damien, next question. If you have specs or a lot of product info, what is the best way to present it?
So whenever you have a lot of information or a lot of specifications, product info, I've even seen frequently asked questions pages that have 50 questions just for using their service. The best way to do this is to divide up the content. Now, you want to limit page navigation. So you want to limit moving away from pages and loading new pages and opening new tabs. So I always suggest using toggles. So if you have a product, let's say a t-shirt, and it comes in 15 different sizes, because there are 15 different sizes. Let's say it comes in 15 different sizes. A good way to do that is a lot of people use drop downs, but toggles work a lot too. So you can have all of the information on one page and then just divide it up in headings, cut it into toggles. So that way, when somebody is looking for a specific question or a specific piece of data for that product or for your service, they can find it on the page and simply hit a toggle, and then they get their paragraph of information that they need without having to sift through paragraphs and paragraphs of content.
What tools would you recommend to keep UX at the forefront of your design and online presence? For instance, a checklist of sorts.
Okay. So the most important thing that everybody should be using on all of their products and website is some sort of analytics suite, whether it's Google Analytics or whatever. You need data to make decisions that truly affect that data. Aside from that, there are many tools that help in UI design, but for UX, for user experience design, for the functionality of it and the limit in finding out the best way to get the best results in terms of user interaction, that's all data driven. So that's analytics, that's heat mapping tools, that is eye tracking software. You basically want to capture and understand the user's behavior on your website. Now for UI design and formatting and whatnot, there are plenty of tools for that. I can give a list of recommendations to you after this call. But there are plenty of tools for UI design as well, such as Canva. Canva is great for graphics. It uses a lot of good technology to make sure that spacing is proper and that everything fits in the way it should, that is best attractive for the user experience.
All right, Damon, we got two more questions. The first question I might take myself. Okay. It's I read somewhere that these conversion notifications, example, Jimmy from New York City just purchased this product, are fake. Number one, is that true? Number two, how can we reassure potential customers that our conversion notifications are authentic and not just automated bots? Great question. It comes down to the software that you use. There are some software platforms or plugins that these are fictitious purchases and they're not exactly truthful. It goes to the example of you're purchasing an airline ticket and there's two airline tickets remaining at this price. Well, how truthful is that? The significant majority of time, those are truthful. I would recommend if you're going to use a social notification option, find a company that is reputable and then automatic or integrates with your point of sale so that you know that the information being shared is accurate, it is correct, and is not being less truthful to your clients or customers. To build trust with your customers, I would leave a spot somewhere on your website, maybe in the frequently asked questions page or somewhere where you can communicate with them so they can ask about it, and leave transparency as one of your options to communicate. Damien, last question. How long should a page be, and is above the fold or within the margins still relevant with all of the scrolling?
Good question. So how long should a page be? A page can be really, really, really long as it is intuitive. So Google is a good example. A lot of their products like to go with the full viewport style web pages, where when you first access the web page or the website, the entire screen is basically almost like a slide or just one portion of information. So they'll have a huge headline with a little bit of a description and lots of big, bright pictures. And then as you scroll down, it scrolls down to another full screen example. Google loves to do that. So as long as it's intuitive, your web pages can be as long as possible. But then you also want to account for load times and server response times and things of that sort. If you have, you know, gigabytes of images and data on just one page and it's taking 10 seconds just to load the page, no matter how spaced out and how beautiful and magazine-like your website looks, if it's taking 10 seconds to load the page, it's not worth having all that content given to the user at once. But yes, you do want to keep your content within the margins. You should never, ever have horizontal scrolling on your web page. It's just off, and it gives a feeling that the website is broken or it is doing something that you shouldn't do. And then having the content take up the whole viewport, that you could do that. And then you could also have it to where it's sort of margined in more like a real document. That goes down to your branding and how you want to present your website.
Damien, great feedback. We appreciate your time and your knowledge for sharing information for crafting effective user experiences. This webinar has been recorded. We'll share the recording with everyone who registered. Beyond that, have an awesome Wednesday. Continue to kick butt. And we look forward to seeing you applying some persuasion to your websites.
Thanks for listening to ClickSuasion. Subscribe to the podcast, read our research, and get in touch with us at ClickSuasion.com. You can also find us on Twitter with the handle @ClickSuasion.